You going? We're good. That song goes out to our mothers. Rest beyond the river. Because Lord knows you're not going to have it here, right? Rest beyond the river. So we're going to do things a little different today. I told Ray as I was getting ready to come up here, this is how you guarantee that you don't get asked to speak on Mother's Day ever again. And it's not that, you know, this is one of those days that we fight about in the elders meeting about wanting to do it. And, you know, I drew the short straw this year. And so maybe next year we can pass the mantle on to someone who is more worthy than myself. You know, I told many years ago, I told Ray, you know, I'd like to do Mother's Day at some point. You know, I'm gonna talk about, what did I say, Ray? Bad mothers of the Bible, you know, and just go through all those mothers that totally blew it. you know, it seems like every Father's Day, you know, people get up here and they challenge the fathers. You know, it's not like you're doing a great job, your kids, you know, are great, and your relationship with your wife is great. It's like, do this, do this. You're not doing this, and you leave here and you feel like about this big, you know, and then they hand you a book on the way out, how to be a godly father or something like that. And then the mothers come in here and they talk about the joys of motherhood and how your children worship you. And then you leave and they give you a flower and you get to take it home and you know, and have all the joy of motherhood. So it just didn't seem fair, you know, that happens, you know, year after year after year. And I thought about, man, I can speak on the Proverbs, you know, 31, a woman, you know, and all that, how she doesn't sleep at night, and she takes care of her family, and she weaves on the loom through all hours of the day, and she buys a field and doubles her money, and, you know, that would be a challenge, wouldn't it? But I'm going to do something different today, because, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I don't think there are any mothers here that are at that level that they would like to be at. And if I know mothers like I know my wife, they don't need someone to beat them up, to lay guilt upon them, because as fathers, we know that there's a high standard that we are called to as fathers and mothers. And I think most of us understand what that is. We have mothers that come from all walks of life, who have been through storms, who have been through valleys, who have been on mountaintops. You know, it's not all valleys. There's peaks and there's lows. We've had mothers who've lost children, either in the womb or as a young lad, or even adult children. We have mothers who've lost husbands. We've had mothers who deal with situations in homes that you would never want to be a part of, and they do it day after day after day. And we commend them for their faithfulness to the Lord, for their faithfulness to God. So this morning, in an effort to not have to do this ever again, I've enlisted the help of a friend that's behind the wall. So I'm going to go back and get him to come out and maybe give you a little Mother's Day special. It will be memorable, that I can assure you, and hopefully it'll be fruitful as well. I'll be right back. Keep the camera rolling, Jed. Mm-hmm. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. A bright golden haze on the meadow. The barley's as high as my donkey's left eye. And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. Oh, what a beautiful day. Howdy, folks. Well, at least we got somebody sociable. I tell you, it's as hot in here as that wind coming off that Dead Sea blowing in here today, and I don't know what it is. But you just keep fanning yourself, lady, but it ain't going to help. It ain't going to help. Maybe you get your husband to fan it for you. Well, y'all probably know me. I go by the name of Bubba. Bubba, yeah. You're a scholarly gentleman right there. You with the lack of hair follicles. No, not you. You've heard of Bubba. Bubba in the Bible? You know? You've heard the daughters of Zelophehad?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Heard the daughters of Bubba?
No.
No. Well, there's three. There's Josephine. There's Jerry Bell. And Jetty Poo. The daughters of Bubba. I'd always wanted strapping young men, but I tell you what, I'd put those three strapping young women up against any of these strapping young men. Never heard of Bubba. Well, maybe you heard of my uncle, Uncle Boaz. Heard of Boaz? Yeah. Well, we're related. We're kinfolk. I'm a farmer. He's a farmer. I'm a rancher. He's a rancher. I grow barley, he grows barley. I grow wheat, he grows wheat. But you haven't heard of Uncle Bubba. Well, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to get this pretty young lass here in front row. Watch my hat for me. Hey, I might get in trouble if I kept that on. Too long. We're going to look today. One of my favorite stories. Because I'm in it. Might have to point it out, but I'm there. And it's the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Now it says, it starts out in the book of Ruth, and you can turn here. We're going to go through it. We're going to go through all four chapters, 85 verses today from beginning to end. Lord, help me, and we'll be out of here before the clock strikes three. There you go. Thank you. Starting in the very first verse, and it came about in the days when the judges governed. Now, the judges, you remember the judges? Well, we had Samson and Deborah. We had old Gideon, just to name a few. But in the days of the judges, there was a famine in the land. Crops weren't growing. And a certain man of Bethlehem of Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. And I'm just going to cut to the chase. That was my other uncle, Elimelech. Things got hard and he beat it. He left me and Boaz here, tending the farms, trying to keep it going, trying to keep his land from being grown up too. And he left with that pretty little Naomi. You know, that was the girl that everyone wanted to marry, but he got her. And he went and had two sons. I had three strapping daughters, Jerubella, Jetty Poo, Josephine. He had two boys, Malon and Chilion, but they left. Things got hard and they went away. Now, it wasn't just it wasn't too far. It's about 50 miles piece, around the north part of the Dead Sea, kind of through the hilly country. And they were gone for 10 years. Thought we'd never see them again. I thought Boaz and me were going to split the land. You know? But wouldn't you know it? They came back. And this is what happened while they were gone. Elimelech, that scoundrel, went and died on his wife. I don't know what happened, but he didn't come back. Not only did he die, but then his sons got married. Married to these beautiful girls. Orpah. Kind of sounds like one of them whales in the Arctic. And Ruth. Now that's a good name. Ruth. But the boys didn't make it back either. It was just Naomi. And the one that wasn't a white whale. Ruth. Orpah went back home. When Naomi came back, ain't nearly a man that would recognize her. Not at all. Those 10 years hadn't been kind. Not kind at all. Can you imagine your husband getting you up in the night and say, hey, pack it up. We're headed out. Move it on out. Round up. Rawhide. Let's go. Hook up the donkey. Next thing you know, you're in a foreign land. You don't know anybody. Don't know the language. Can't communicate. Can't buy stuff. You're stuck. Then your husband up and dies on you. Well, at least you got your two strapping boys. They get married and things are looking good and then they die too. Oh, my. Oh, my. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. So what does she do? Well, what could you do? You're by yourself in a foreign land with a bunch of foreigners. You come home. And that's what she did. In verse 6, it says she arose with her daughters-in-laws that she might return to the land of Moab, for she'd heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people, given them food. So she left there and headed home. She had some sense, unlike her husband. But on the way back, she has a change of heart. What's she going to do with these two daughters-in-laws when she shows up at home? She don't know what she's going to find. House still there? Maybe not. Could be taken over and overrun by cockroaches. Who knows? Rats. What old woman want to bring two beautiful daughters in with a bunch of rats? No. So she tried to convince them it was in their best interest to go back to their family. So Naomi says in verse 8, Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead and with me. These were kind women. They had gone through a lot in those years. Help Naomi to the death of her husband, to the death of her sons. Helped her load up, and they're headed back to Bethlehem, to a place they've never been before. But they didn't want to leave her. Naomi says, may the Lord grant that you may find rest in each in the house of her husband. She kissed them and they cried. That's what women do, you know. Bunch of guys, we wouldn't have done that. We slapped each other on the back and said, get on back, boy. I got this. No, they hugged each other and they cried. In the end, Naomi was able to convince Orpah to go back to the Arctic. And Ruth, she pressed on ahead. That's what moms do. They make so many sacrifices. You know, here's Naomi. Who knows how old she was? Probably as old as you. Maybe even older. And she's setting out on a journey of 50 miles, 10 days in the wilderness? What are you thinking of not taking these two strapping young women with you? Especially Orpah. Now, maybe Ruth might be some help, diversion. You know, just got to be faster than Ruth. But like a mom, she's willing to sacrifice herself for the good of these daughters-in-laws. You know, you have moms like that? You have moms like that? I know this pretty young lady down front. She could be dying of hunger, and she wouldn't eat the last bite. I'm not hungry. I'm just feeling a little dizzy. Yeah. You take the food. Yeah. Josephine eats like a horse. Could be freezing. Could be 35 degrees outside. In her t-shirt because she gave her coat to somebody else. I'm not cold. Nah, my lips are blue because that's the color of my lipstick. Moms just make sacrifices. All the time. All the time. So what happens? Well, they start crying again. Verse 14, they lift up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. Probably one of the prettiest things I've ever heard someone say. Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you. Turn back from following you, for where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if death parts you and me." And when Naomi saw she's determined to go with her, she said no more. That was a quiet trip for two women. Quiet trip. They come to Bethlehem. What kind of shape are they in? Verse 19 says, they come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred. All 269 of them. The women said, "Is this Naomi? She's that pretty little girl that left here 10 years ago with those two little boys. Naomi? Can't be Naomi." They come up. "Is that you, Naomi?" Naomi said, "Nah." "This ain't the woman that left here. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Mara means bitter, bitter. "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty, empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Naomi wasn't mad at God. She's just bitter at life. She recognized him as the Almighty, Yahweh, El Shaddai. Felt it was probably in her best interest, perhaps, that this had come upon her, but she was still bitter. Lost a husband, two sons, forced to come home and fend for herself. Returned empty. But she came at the start of the barley harvest. The barley harvest, it just started. The barley harvest starts in April, May. Then there's a wheat harvest. That rancher, farmer right there can tell you when barley comes in. with the harvest, there came hope. There came hope for Naomi. Now, Ruth didn't know this, but in the town, that small town of Bethlehem, a population of 269 people, there was a man, my uncle, Boaz, mighty man, good man, rich man, maybe a little on the old side, but good man. He had hair. He wasn't quite as old as that gentleman there. Ruth, being the good, strong woman that she was, asked her mother-in-law, Naomi, can I go out and glean? We need to eat. Got to have food. Seemed like a good idea. Naomi said, go, my daughter. And so she departed and went, and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she just happened to come to that part of the field that belonged to my uncle Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. If you didn't know better, you might think that was just a coincidence. No, that was the hand of God. Took her to that field. So she comes to the field and she's gleaning. Y'all know what gleaning is, right? Well, the workers go out in the field and they cut the wheat. And they cut it and they cut it. And then they're gathering it up. Now, the wheat's still on the stalk. Y'all know? It's like if you don't mow your grass for like 3 or 5 weeks or 6 weeks or so, it's going to put up a stalk and there's seeds on it. Well, you cut that off, and then it's kind of like wheat, and you can knock the grains off there, and you can eat it if you want to. It won't kill you. Might make you sick if the dog's been through, but other than that, it'd be all right. So she's out there gleaning. She's picking up stuff left behind. Boaz comes to check on his servants. Look at there. Who is that in my field? She must have been a mason because she stood out amongst all the rest of them. Servant says, she's the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said to me, this is a servant telling Boaz, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And she came and remained here from the morning until now. And look, there she is, sitting in that shed, trying to stay out of the sun, you know. Don't want to burn that fair skin. Boaz. Heart was touched. Here she was, the Moabite woman that he had heard of. She hadn't been there long, but she was already well thought of in the community because she had left her family, her friends, her country behind for this bitter old woman. I wouldn't have done it. You know what they say about a contentious woman? Leave her on the rooftop. Something like that. I think some of the wisdom there of Solomon. So Boaz comes up the roof. Ruth says, listen, my daughter. Calls him his daughter. Maybe it's because of the age difference. Listen, my daughter, do not go glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay with my maids. So what does he do? Well, he lets her hang out with the servants, and she can drink the water from the jars, and the servants are drinking. You know, they got the cooler sitting there at the end of the field, and he said, help yourself to the water. Then he brings her lunch. They get a chance to sit together, and get to talk to one another, feeds her food. She comes back. And they do it through the barley harvest. They do it through the wheat harvest. Maybe a couple of months. They get together and have this opportunity. Now, do you think, just for 1 second, Ruth didn't know what was going on? Think she was blind? What does it say? It's, Boaz takes his servants aside. And he tells her, verse 16, also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean. Here's the servants. Yeah. Just dropping it behind them. Here comes Ruth. She doesn't even have to work for it. Has anybody in here ever gleaned? I had to glean when I was a young man. It's how we put ourselves through school. Kindergarten. They took us out there in the field and we had to go and pick up corn cobs. You know, around the edges where the combine missed them. It was tough work. Well, here, it wasn't even hardly like work. Servants were cutting it and dropping it in little piles where she could pick it up. And when she got done that day, lo and behold, she had 30 pounds of barley. 30 pounds. Enough to feed her and Naomi for 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. I think she noticed that. I think she knew Boaz was sweet on her. I think she did. But she didn't know who Boaz was. So she comes back to the house, and Naomi, the first thing she wants to know, how in the world did you get 30 pounds of barley in one day as a gleaner? That just don't happen in Bethlehem. Don't happen in Bethlehem. She said, well, I don't know what happened, but there's this man Boaz there, and the stuff was just like falling from the sky, and I picked it up. And you can see Naomi's face. That bitter woman. Wow! Boaz! You don't know who Boaz is. I never told you about Boaz. I forgot about Boaz. He's related. Ruth is probably going, and? Well, don't you see? He can redeem you. He can be your kinsman redeemer. He can buy you. Take you as his wife. Ruth said, okay. Sounds great. So they continue. Week after week. Well, wouldn't you know it? Harvest season is drawing to a close. And old Boaz, well, he ain't made no move yet. Ain't said nothing. Just make small talk as they eat lunch every day. Boaz is an older man. He's probably not thinking that this girl's going to want to do anything with him, get married, raise a family. So Naomi, no longer bitter woman, she's now become a matchmaker. She tells her what she needs to do. Says, Ruth, first thing first, you need to take a bath. Yeah. 6 to 8 weeks of working in the field, take a bath. Get cleaned up. Anoint yourself. Put on some of that smelly stuff. Put on your nice clothes. And then you're going to do something that sounds really weird, but I tell you, it's a custom here in Bethlehem, and just do it. Don't ask questions. Ruth says, yes, ma'am, I'll do it. So Ruth goes down to the threshing floor. My Uncle Boaz is down there. He's threshing, and he's done. He's tired. He's pooped, but he's not going to leave all that grain unprotected. He's a wise man. He lays down and sleeps beside of it. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, he wakes up, and there's a woman at his feet. Can you imagine that? Ever happened to you? No, probably not. Yeah, never happened to me either. But there's a woman, and it's dark. But he knows it's a woman because she's soft. Not like Jetty Poo or Josephine or Jeroboam. They're pretty hard. Soft. Warm. Feet are uncovered. So, shocked, he goes, who are you? She says, I'm Ruth, your maid. Spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative. Just doing what her what her mother-in-law told her to do. Uncle Boaz, he knows what this means. She wants to marry him. She wants to marry this old man. He says, "You've shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter," here again, there's that age difference, "do not fear. I'll do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know you're a woman of excellence." Been there 6 weeks, maybe eight. All 269 people know she's a woman of excellence. So he says, "Remain this night, and when morning comes, I'm going to try to redeem you, but there's a problem. There's a problem. There's a close relative, Uncle Bubba, that has first rights to Ruth." So he sends her on her way. He gives her so much barley, I don't know how she carried it. She must be strong. But she took it. She went back to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Naomi says, "How did it go, my daughter? This is big. This is big news. This is great. Could be great news. Could be awful news. You know, he could have kicked her out." He took her in. Covered her over. So Ruth told her all that the man had done. Naomi's no longer bitter. Maybe no longer the matchmaker. Maybe she's going to grow her family. She tells Ruth, "Wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest until it's settled today." That's a man. Take care of it. Do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Boaz is not going to take any chances. So what does Boaz do? Well, he goes to the gate of the city. Uncle Boaz is sitting out there, and I come walking by. It was just coincidence. I'm sure it wasn't providence or the hand of God. I just walked by. He said, "Hey, Bubba." I said, "Yeah, Boaz." He said, "Come here. I want to talk to you." Hey, not only did he ask for me, he got 10 elders of the city to come over. Well, at that point, my mind just starts going. Maybe I did something I shouldn't have done. Uncle Boaz, he's a powerful man. He could lock me up. I'm sure he could think of something I did wrong. And he brings me over and he says, "You know, Naomi has come back from the land of Moab. And she has to sell the piece of land that belonged to Elimelech, Uncle Elimelech. So I thought I'd tell you, saying bye before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I'm after you." Well, I thought, here is my opportunity to grow the farm, and I can double it in size. I've got the cash laid aside. Harvest is done, but hey, I can plant again. I'll be growing corn in a little bit. I can put my donkeys out in the pasture. Sounds good to me. So I said, "I will redeem it." Sold. And Uncle Boaz says, "Hey, not so quick, Bubba. On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." Whoa, back up, back up. My wife ain't going to think much of that if I bring Ruth home and say, look here, honey. Got her at the gate this morning. It was worth every penny. Nope. Better not. It's tempting. You know, maybe we could work something out. I take the land, you take Ruth. Boaz wasn't married. I've been married way too long to make that mistake. So I said to Boaz, verse 8 says right there, so the closest relative, Bubba, said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. Took his boot, gave it to Uncle Boaz. You redeem the land. Can't do it. Boaz must have known what I would do, what I would say. He doesn't seem too surprised. Says right before the elders, put it on the record books. Today is the day that I redeemed Ruth, that I redeemed the land of Naomi. I bought all that belonged to my uncle Elimelech. So what happened? What good Well, old Boaz, Ruth, they were married. Verse 13, right off the bat, she's pregnant and she has a boy. Lord helped her to conceive and gave birth to a son. Then the same women that said, are you Naomi? They said, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. I guess that's what happened to Bubba. You know, maybe if I had stepped in, then it would be Boaz that would be the unnamed closest relative, and Bubba would be the one that redeemed her. Bubba would be the one that had the son. Don't take that personal, girls. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age, speaking of Naomi, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Kind of reminds me of that story, Todd, of the seven cow bride. Saw the value in Ruth and paid the price to redeem her. Better than seven sons. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and became his nurse. No longer Mara, no longer bitter. Beautiful Naomi, the years melted off of her. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. Well, that's a weird one. Obed went on to be the father of Jesse later in life. You know, I was there Saw her when she left. Saw her when she came back, a broken woman. Saw her restored by the hand of God. All of it took place in this little town of Bethlehem. 269 people. Who would have thought something that big would happen in Bethlehem? Little are you. Little are you. God had something big for Bethlehem. Had a boy, Obed, born. To a woman that came across the sea. Well, around the sea. Fathered by my Uncle Boaz. And I became the unnamed closest relative. But you could call me Bubba. Been good seeing you folks today. Hope you enjoy your Mother's Day. Hope you keep pressing on. As the song said, one day you're going to cross the river. You're going to find rest. Maybe Bubba will be there. No Boaz will be there. No Ruth will be there. Maybe the unnamed relative will be there as well. Well, I'm going to get my hat. I'm going to go get my donkey. I'm going to ride off into the sunset. And if he keeps giving me trouble, I'm going to take his jawbone and give it to a friend of mine. Good day.